If spiritual life requires a spiritual birth, as I preached 2 weeks ago in the evening service from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 to 25, and if spiritual life is produced by the preaching of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, then how does spiritual growth take place? I want you to look with me tonight at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, as we try to find an answer to that question. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I want you to see that three things tonight. I want you to see that spiritual growth requires hunger for spiritual food, and that a lack of spiritual hunger and spiritual growth should cause alarm. And spiritual growth is a joy to others and to the Lord. Father in heaven, now just take the Word of God, we pray, and apply it to our hearts in a way that blesses us and ministers to us and instructs us and helps us to know how to grow in the Lord Jesus and how to continue to grow. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the precious privilege of sharing and studying together in Jesus' name. Amen. My first point then is that spiritual growth requires hunger for spiritual food. Isn't it a wonderful miracle that from the moment of birth, every healthy baby has an instinctive sucking motion and an urge to find a source of milk? Watch it in a batch of puppies, without their eyes open, still finding their mother's milk. Watch it in a newborn calf or colt whose legs are almost too wobbly to stand on, finding its mother's udder. Watch it. Watch the tail begin to twitch in delight when the milk begins to flow. Listen to a baby cry when its hunger cannot be satisfied. And you get a picture of what ought to be true of every newborn Christian, especially every newborn spiritual Christian. Listen to what the passage says. Verse 2, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. As newborn babes, does that describe you? Now, most of you are not newborn babes physically or even spiritually. Most of you probably have been on the road for a long time. And you have followed through another scripture that speaks about going on to feed on solid meat. Not content to simply stay with the milk of the Word. And that's good. No one should remain a baby, physically or spiritually. But everyone starts there. The ability to develop into a mature believer, able to feast on the Word of God, begins with getting a good start drinking the milk of the Word. Let me illustrate by telling you about my good friend, Pastor Joe Russell of New Beginnings Baptist Church on the Lower East Side of Vancouver. New Beginnings Baptist Church was established 26 years ago to reach the hurting people off the streets of East Vancouver. That's right. Joe and a team of workers have been working on the streets of that area, known everywhere for its prostitutes and its drug dealers, its pimps, and its panhandlers. Joe and his fellow workers have been out on the streets where most of us would be afraid to even walk, especially at night. They've been telling people about Jesus. They have been loving them. They have been serving them. They have been providing food and clothing and furniture for them. They have concentrated on hurting people, on young families, on single mothers and their children. Every Friday night, their two vans crisscross Vancouver, bringing 60 to 80 teens from their homes to the youth meeting and taking them safely home again afterwards. Those vans are out again Sunday nights, picking up mothers and their children from their homes, bringing them to service and taking them home again. In addition to providing spiritual food as well as physical food, clothing and furniture, they have also provided tutoring for the children from grades 1 to grade 7 and have seen their students go on to graduate from high school and even from university. That's a miracle on the Lower East Side of Vancouver. My wife and I visited that church years ago when we were pastoring in Lake Cowichan. We visited it with a group of our people from over there, and in actual fact, we picked up the support, partly a little bit of support for a lady that I'll speak about in a moment. And we saw that church working with those people from the streets of Vancouver, of East Vancouver. Many of them were natives. Many of them were from the most horrible of backgrounds. There they were, and they were working amongst them. We supported, for a little period of time at least, a young woman by the name of Jenny Shantz, a young woman recruited to love and care for the girls brought in out of prostitution, out of drug abuse, out of sexual abuse, and who knows what all else. After a time, and I phoned down to the New Beginnings Baptist Church day before yesterday or last night, sometime recently anyway, to check on all of this, and I find out that Joe Russell himself has just retired. But there's a Pastor Grant that is the present pastor of the church there, and I looked up the website, looked up all about their work, and they're still doing exactly the same thing that they were doing then, probably doing more of it. Jenny Shantz left the New Beginnings Church in order to found, well, first of all, she went back to get her university degree in working with folks like this, and then went on to found a home called Inner Hope, a house for troubled youth and for runaways. Now, why on earth am I taking time to talk to you about New Beginnings Baptist Church and Jenny Shantz in the middle of a sermon about spiritual hunger? I'm telling you this because Joe says that lots of people in that situation pray the sinner's prayer to receive Christ, but they don't even count those people as Christians until they begin to see God at work in their lives, until they begin to see change and growth and evidence of real life. And what is this evidence of change that they're looking for? They see these people beginning to dig into the Word of God. They see them learning about Jesus and faith and freedom from sin. And Joe says that without that hunger for the Word of God, there will be no change in their lives. And regardless of their praying the sinner's prayer, without the hunger for the Word of God, they are as stillborn children without life. I've known of people. Who talk about leading many people to Christ. When I was 17 years of age, my brother and I, he was 24, ran away from home. Well, we didn't. We drove away from home. And we went down to southern Ontario and visited with an elderly cousin of my dad's. This was a man that, Mr. Willen was a man that my brother and I respected very highly. And while we were sitting out on the sun porch that day, the piano was going plink, 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 in the other room. The piano tuner was there. After a while, the piano tuning stopped, and this fellow came out and sat down on the porch with us and began to tell us how, on the way over to their place that morning, he had led three young men to the Lord. Well, we were both from a United Church background. I mean, it sounded pretty good that he had led three young men to the Lord. And then he said to my brother, who was a very introverted man of 24, "And what about you, son?" he said, "Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to be born again?" And I don't know what my brother said, actually. But it gave this fellow enough encouragement that without opening the Word of God, without explaining one thing about the Word of God, he somehow believed that my brother gave assent to this. And he said, "Well, then let's pray." And he started to pray and thank God for this young man that wants to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He finished his prayer with him and he turned to me, 17-year-old brash young brat, and said, "And what about you, young man? Would you like to go to heaven? Would you like to receive Christ as your Savior?" And I laughed at him and said, "No, I'm too young." He then turned to our elderly cousin, whom we respected, and said, "And what about you, Mr. Willen? Would you like to receive Christ? Would you like to go to heaven?" And our cousin looked at him and laughed and said, "No, I'm like Al here." He said, "I'm too young too." The next day we were driving and we saw that man's black Cadillac coming out a side road. And my brother broke out and cursed him. If that man felt that he led four young men to the Lord that morning, he was only fooling himself. I met another fellow who claimed that he had led 1,000 people to the Lord. A good question for him would have been, "So where are all your converts? What church are they part of?" Dear ones, that kind of evangelism has no basis in reality, for those conversions, quotation marks, are not brought about by having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. And therefore the invitation to, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby, is meaningless in those situations. The true evidence of the Holy Spirit's work in a person's life is a desire to understand spiritual truth and to grow in spiritual life, changing from the old self-centered individuals that we were into Christ-centered Christians. And what is true on the streets of East Vancouver is true in the city of Kamloops. Dear ones, the question is, do you have a hunger for the Word of God? Because a lack of spiritual hunger and spiritual growth should cause alarm. I told you 2 weeks ago about our granddaughter Jocelyn, and I'm not trying to put my granddaughter up on any kind of a pedestal at all in order to embarrass her if she were here. But simply because when she was born, for the first week or so, she was slow in nursing and in beginning to gain weight. And there was just the twinges of concern about her overall health, because you know full well that if a baby doesn't grow, it causes alarm and leads a parent to get that baby to a doctor to find out what's wrong. Have you considered the spiritual parallel? If a person professing faith in Christ has no desire for God's Word and shows little or no evidence of spiritual growth, should it not set off bells of alarm to find out what's wrong? As a baby will stop nursing and begin to fuss when gas is present, so it's true that a Christian who will not feed on God's Word will become fussy and irritable when sin gets in the road. Listen to what the Word of God here says again. "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. The passage here warns that in the Christian life it is essential that sin be laid aside in order for spiritual growth to continue. Here are some examples that he gives. The word for malice refers to wickedness of all types and moral evil. The word deceit refers to all attempts to deceive, all fraudulent means to gain one's end. Hypocrisy refers to all forms of acting out a part or pretending to be something we are not. Envy and jealousy is a looking at others selfishly and desiring what others have. Evil speaking refers to all slanderous talk, all attempts to pull others down. Now, those five sins are only five of a multitude of sins that can short-circuit spiritual growth and lead people to spiritual stagnation. Sin of any form can bring a Christian to a screeching halt and result in the person's being set on the shelf, unable to be used of God. In my first pastorate, no, my second, I think, I set out on a little project to catalog all the sins that are recorded in the New Testament. I shared with the folks in prayer meeting on Wednesday night that, first of all, I went through and recorded all the passages that dealt with sins. Then I gathered those sins into six categories, the six categories being sins of the inner life, sinful attitudes, sinful behavior, immoral behavior, sins of speech, and division among brethren. And then I took each of those categories and broke down the individual sins that were referred to under each one of those categories. So under sins of the inner life, for instance, there's ungodliness, there's unbelief, there's unrighteousness, unholiness, unjust, evil thoughts, reprobate mind, evil-mindedness, lustful thoughts, corrupt mind, thanklessness, without understanding, vain philosophy or worldly principles, foolishness, improper worship, lacking in truth. Same thing under sinful attitudes, and you get into anger and wrath and bitterness and malice and hatred and envy. That's where this particular passage is coming from right there. Jealousy and covetousness and greed and pride and vanity and conceit and boasting and self-seeking, presumption, hypocrisy, worldliness, all lawlessness and disobedience. And you go on with sinful behavior and the other ones of these categories. I was asked on Wednesday night for a copy of this booklet, which I made up then when we were pastoring in Kelowna, taking the earlier research that I had done. And so I've put a few copies of this. Just, I think there's only a couple left. They seem to have disappeared. If there are other people that want them, we'll gladly get copies for you, because sin of any type can short-circuit the process of spiritual growth. It's like the gas in the baby that can, until you can get that out, the baby is going to be fussy and hurting and unable to feed. The bottom line, then, is that there are a multitude of sins which once dominated our lives and from which we needed to be set free. And as we looked at the situation on Wednesday night, isn't it a marvelous thing? When you stop and think about it, isn't it an absolutely marvelous thing that list of sins that are there, for the most part, not perfectly probably, but for the most part, have been overcome by you who have been feeding on the Word of God throughout your lives? Why did they go? It's because the Word of God taught you that those things were wrong. and taught you that you needed to flee from them, you needed to escape from them, you needed to put them behind you, you needed to confess them to the Lord so that He could put them in the depths of the deepest sea, as He says, or as far as the east is from the west, so far as He separated your sins from you. If we want to be growing Christians, those are things we have to do. Dear ones, we must watch over our own hearts diligently. We must root out every sin which so easily besets us. We must seek to keep our hearts open and free to love God and His Word and His people, or else we run a serious risk to our spiritual health. Dear ones, keep your hearts open to the Lord and His leading. Let nothing diminish your spiritual growth and usefulness. Nothing. My third point is that spiritual growth is a joy to others and to the Lord. I want you to go back with me to chapter 1, verse 22, and read on through that next six verses there. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. This morning, Pastor Joshua led us on quite a journey as he kept us on tenterhooks about this man Solomon. At first he didn't tell us it was Solomon. We kind of guessed that. We kind of got that. But nevertheless, as he led us through all the things that Solomon supposedly accomplished, only to find out that it was useless, it was vain, it was worthless. And that Solomon ended his book of Ecclesiastes by turning the eyes of people to the Word of God. The only place that true satisfaction can be found is in the Lord. And the way we find out about the Lord and we learn how to follow Him is through the Word of God. Of course, the big question is, how do I go about getting to know the Word? We've all experienced that reading and studying the Word for ourselves isn't easy. At first, it's a big and confusing book. Now, I'm talking to many people who have long since solved this problem. You've dug into the Word, you've fed yourself on the Word, you've become familiar with the Word of God, you've memorized the Word of God, and so on. But if there should be anyone who is newer in the Christian life than that, then how shall I grow? Well, that's where the idea of starting out as babies comes into play. At first, we need the milk, the basic truths about salvation. And I encourage new believers to start with the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are fairly similar. When we were in Lake Cowichan, one of the most precious conversions that we saw was of a man by the name of Brian Mead, who was the H&R Block owner, the owner of the H&R Block agencies for a large part of the island. And we always had gotten our income tax done by H&R Block, and 1 year I got dunned by the government. They sent word that I owed them some money, and they say in H&R Block, if you receive that kind of problem, bring it back to them, and they'll look after it. And so I didn't go back that time because it wasn't that much money, but the next year I said to them, could I see the manager, please, because I had this from the government and I think maybe a mistake was made. Well, anyway, I passed over my information to him, and Brian sat there and he looked it over for a moment or so, and then he said, we owe you an apology, Mr. Hearn. I was Mr. Hearn to him then. I'm not at Mr. Hearn to him now. And we owe you an apology. He said, our girls transposed two sets of figures. And as a result, the information was not correctly entered, and so you got this dinner from the government. Well, he fixed it all up, and he took it over personally to do our income tax for those next few years. But along the way, of course, we sat and chatted for a few minutes and found out that his brother was one of these born-again Christians. I said to him, "What about you, Brian?" "Oh, no, no, no." He said, I'm not one of them. I said, "Well, how about you? We meet for coffee one day." All right. It took us a while to get to coffee, and the day that I had coffee with him, we sat for 2 hours over coffee, and I went home and said to my wife, "I've never met a man so hungry for the Word of God in my life." That man asked me question after question that day. And he said, "Well, if I was going to do something about this," he said, "what would I have to do?" Well, I was a little shy because that was in Duncan, and I pastored out in Lake Cowichan, 26 miles away. People drove sometimes from Lake Cowichan to Duncan to go to church, but they didn't drive from Duncan to Lake Cowichan to go to church. So I timidly said, "Well, we'd love to have you come out to Lake Cowichan to come to church." "All right," he said. He said, "I guess if I was going to do something about this, I'd need a Bible, wouldn't I?" And I said, "Don't you have a Bible?" "No, I don't." So we went over to the Bible store, and I spent some time with him there picking out for him a Bible that would be comfortable for him. And I spent some time giving him a crash course in the Bible. He knew nothing. He barely knew that there were two Testaments in the Bible, like so many others these days. So I did for him what I'm doing here tonight. I recommended to him that he start in the Gospels, that he start with Matthew and Mark and Luke. That those three are all very similar. They teach us about the Lord Jesus in His person. Then that the Gospel of John teaches us about Christ's deity and how God came to earth in the person of His Son Jesus. And that there the human nature and the divine nature were perfectly joined together without loss to either one. Then from there a person can go on to the book of Acts and the historical parts. Then one can go on to the letters and start learning doctrine and the teaching of the Word of God. And then little by little, we can work our way back into the Old Testament, different parts of the Old Testament, because new Christians need to know that they shouldn't start in the book of Genesis to start off with. They should start with, quotation marks, the easier stuff. Because I made that mistake, bogging down in Leviticus. Many of you have gone on far beyond that. You aren't like the people that are always learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. You have gone on to grow in your spiritual life. There are other ways for new Christians to learn as well. They certainly should start attending church, listening to the Word of God preached, attending Bible study, exploring the Word together, reading books about the Word of God, memorizing Scripture. And of course, as we read, as we learn, as we pray that God will apply the words to our hearts, seeking to obey what God is teaching us in day-by-day practice, growing into maturity. That's the goal that we seek, spiritual maturity, having purified our souls, it says. This is not a one-time deal. This is a constant process. A day by day, every day, we seek to grow in the Lord, in the Word. We seek spiritual cleansing through the Word. We respond by confessing sins revealed by the Word. Spiritual growth takes place through obeying the Word, and it results in love for your fellow Christians. So the question becomes, who are your fellow Christians? Now we can all start with all those who truly confess Christ as Savior and Lord of every color, every race, every denomination, those people out there. But we have to bring it closer than that. We bring it back to all the Christians that we know, to the fellow believers in our own church. Dear ones, another of the hindrances to growth and progress in the Christian life is a lack of love to those believers we know. That can sometimes happen. We've all experienced it, where we've experienced Christians that somehow or other don't love their fellow believers. We have to watch over our own hearts. There's that old saying, to live above with those we love. Oh, that will be glory! To live below with those we know, well, that's a different story. But love doesn't mean blindly accepting that which is wrong, does it? Sometimes love tells the truth, no matter how unpalatable it might be. But that's God's word. Love one another with a pure heart fervently. It's a challenge for every Christian. It's a challenge for every church. Are we growing in the Word of God? Is the love of Christ being reflected in love within the body? If these are happening, it brings joy and victory within the church family, which can be felt. It sets the Holy Spirit free to carry forward His plan through this church into this community. My conclusion, spiritual growth comes through the hunger for the Word of God. Secondly, a lack of spiritual hunger and spiritual growth should cause alarm. And third, spiritual growth is a joy to others and to the Lord, for it promotes true obedience to His Word. I'm hungry, Lord. I hope you are too. Amen. Now, Father in heaven, thank you. Not only make us hungry, but lead us to satisfy our hunger through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.